Last week, the organization Business Leaders for Michigan gathered in Lansing for one of its periodic leadership summits. The group's mission is to advance strategies to make Michigan a top 10 state for jobs, personal income, and a healthy economy. According to our next guest, those in attendance, which include the CEOs, chairpersons, and senior executives of Michigan's largest companies and universities, spent a good deal of time lamenting the lack of a cohesive economic growth agenda for Michigan. Detroit Free Press columnist Tom Walsh wrote about that discussion recently. He joins me now. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Mark. How are you doing?
I am well. It's good to have you on our program.
Good to be there.
So in your column a couple of days ago, you called for a second grand bargain of sorts across political lines with broad public-private philanthropic support, your words there, to create a coherent economic growth agenda for Michigan. And you write that you're concerned that without that, we risk squandering recent gains in jobs, economic activity, and fiscal stability. What would this grand bargain look like, do you think?
Well, I think what needs to happen is you need to get the private sector on the same page with the public officials, most importantly. And as we saw in the grand bargain with the Detroit bankruptcy, the philanthropic community, the foundations, were also instrumental players, as they are in the economic development world. The foundations behind the New Economy Initiative in Southeast Michigan, you know, have funded lots of startup activity and entrepreneurial activity and those kinds of things. So they're key players in a state and a city that have been financially strapped for a long time. So they need to be part of this, and everybody needs to be on the same page, and we need to stop lurching back and forth every time, you know, we get a new political equation in Lansing. You know, the MEDC people are up at the Capitol every week now, it seems, trying to defend this program or that program from the budget acts in the House.
Did the Detroit grand bargain basically put a new kind of template on the table, Tom?
Well, I think it did, and of course it's easier said than done to put these kinds of coalitions together. In the case of the bankruptcy, you had a bankruptcy judge that had some clout to make things happen, and you had the chief judge of the court running the mediation they had kind of a hammer over the people that Governor Snyder is finding out that he doesn't have over even the legislators of his own party, because the governor said, well, I'm not the biggest fan of film credits, for example, but I don't think we should just sort of willy-nilly do away with them. I think the same thing goes for the MEC budget and some of these, you know, venture capital assist funds that the legislature's been talking about getting rid of. So I think it's not easily done, but the template set by the grand bargain says that you don't have to believe the old saws that outstate legislators will not vote for what's good for Detroit, or vice versa. I mean, they sort of got past a lot of that East-West and Democratic-Republican divide to do something that was good for everybody. And I think that's what we need to do with our economic policy. Other states do manage to do it.
Let's talk a little bit more about that recent history and what's made it so erratic. You write that at last week's conference in Lansing with Business Leaders for Michigan, that Michigan's herky-jerky economic policy detours over the past 10 to 15 years have become a topic really with a life of its own. Go a little bit deeper with us and tell us, remind us about these detours.
Well, at the conference last week, the Business Leaders from Michigan, you know, spent an hour of the program having the crowd hear from people from Ohio who worked on Ohio's what they call their Third Frontier program that dates back to the 90s. And again, a lot of that has been a coalition of private sector, and it's been supported by both Republican and Democratic regimes in Ohio. So they had the Ohio guys up on the stage along with some Michigan CEOs and officials, and one of the Michigan guys, Mike Jandernoff from Southwest Michigan, had mentioned that back in the Engler days in Michigan, they had started the life science corridor to really put some money and some emphasis on growing a life science industry to augment and diversify some from our automotive base. And then when the Granholm administration came in, they sort of kept life sciences as a piece of that, but then talked about this technology tri-corridor to put some of the emphasis back on advanced automotive and defense industries after 9/11. So, and that sort of diluted, I think, the impact of the emphasis on life sciences. And then, you know, the big crash came, and the administration and the legislature were pretty desperate for anything that would show economic life in Michigan, and that's when the film credits came along. And then when the Snyder administration came along, he didn't like tax credits or the support for the film industry, which he didn't think was paying off. So that's the lurching back and forth that we've done.
But the political winds shift, though, Tom. Democratic majorities, then Republican majorities. What can be done about that, if anything?
Well, they do, and the whole Ohio message was meant to sort of say, we've been consistent with our policies in terms of what we're supporting, how we're supporting it, bringing the private sector in. We've been consistent with this through administrations, going from the Republicans of Taft to the Democratic regime of Strickland and then back to Republicans. In Michigan, for whatever reason, we haven't been able to do that. I think the MEDC was originally structured to sort of do that, to be a quasi-private, quasi-public entity that would have some consistency from administration to administration. But I think, in reality, I think most people would acknowledge that the governor's administration has pretty much controlled, you know, how the MEDC is run and what its priorities have been. You know, it was run one way under John Engler. Jennifer Granholm, you know, brought different people in with a different approach, and Rick Snyder brought Mike Finney with him, and then now is sort of reorienting it toward talent development, which I don't want to say that's not important. It's just a different message. And if you're a site selection consultant around the country trying to tell your clients, well, Michigan, here's what's available in Michigan, here's what's available in Ohio or Indiana or Texas, the site consultants will tell you that Michigan's been a little hard to read.
Tom Walsh of the Detroit Free Press is our guest. We're talking about the discussion involving a more cohesive economic growth agenda here for Michigan and related topics. What should the role of the MEDC be in this? How big a role should they have, do you think?
Well, I think if you're going to set up this separate entity that is meant to have kind of a continuing role a little bit removed from the politics, you need to let it operate that way. And I realistically, I just don't think that's happened, and maybe it can't happen. I don't know, under the way it's structured now. But there are certain things, and again, we have our own examples of things where when we are consistent, we see the payoff. The Pure Michigan campaign, tourism campaign is a classic example. That was born during the Granholm years, and
you see that as kind of a template create a template similar to Pure Michigan that would endure administration changes, that would survive changes of administrations.
Well, it could be, although there's nothing written into the law or the function of the Pure Michigan campaign or the tourism effort in the state. There's nothing written in the law that says it has to survive. It just happened that Rick Snyder, the CPA governor, looked at the return on the campaign, and by every measurement, it was phenomenally successful. It was, you know, the ad agency who did the work got hired by a lot of other tourist destinations in the country. So when Snyder came into office, even though the Pure Michigan campaign was created under the Granholm watch, he decided, hey, this is one thing that's working. We're not only going to keep it, we're going to give him more money, which he has done, and that program has continued to be robust and successful, and they've taken it international to use it in other countries, and they've used it not only for tourism, but to sort of do business attraction as well. So, I mean, you have to have a good program that generates results, and part of the collaboration in a grand bargain, sort of making sure you have the private and public sectors together and continuity. Part of that is doing continual research and benchmarking to make sure there is a return, rather than just kind of let it run its course and let the next administration decide whether it works or not.
Tom Walsh of the Detroit Free Press is our guest here on Current State on WKAR. Let's get into some other topics here, Tom. Billions more in mega tax credits dispensed in the recent past are going to be redeemed for years to come. How much impact will those redemptions have on the state's economy? We've seen that they can really screw up a budget.
Yeah, they can. And part of that's it's a little bit fluky in that, you know, a lot of these tax credits, you know, were able to be cashed in at a time, you know, for a long time, tax credits didn't do the auto companies any good when they weren't making any money because they weren't paying any taxes anyway, or hardly any. And so now all of a sudden that they're profitable, these tax credits are valuable and they're cashing them in. So it's, you know, it's sort of the flip side of prosperity. There is a price to pay for this. They're having to pay for it in the current budget and maybe for a while yet, but those tax credits were doled out not only in the Granholm administration, but in the later days of the Engler administration as well. When John Engler, who was not a big believer in tax credits coming in, he lost a big plant to Texas, plant expansion of GM to Texas, and all of a sudden he became a lot more tax credit friendly and did favors for the auto companies and other big manufacturers to keep them in state. And then, you know, and Granholm did what she could to keep in auto investment in Michigan during a god-awful time, 08, 09, in that era. So, and I think clearly it helped. The GM Chrysler Ford investments were much more concentrated in Michigan than they were in other states during those periods. And, you know, I hate to think what would have happened. It's kind of like the bailouts. Nobody likes bailouts, but you can't kind of argue with what could have been in Michigan. I think there were the right thing to do at the time. I think you got to live with some of the fallout from that, and I think we'll get through it.
The state's unemployment rate is, and this takes some getting used to, 5.9%, the lowest in 14 years. What do you make of that number, and how low do you think that can go?
It's a great number. Nobody would have thought it would have come down that fast from wherever it was, 12% or whatever. And so it's great news. It's still above the national average. National average, I think, is 5.5. And it has been above the national average for most of the past few decades. There were a few months in the late 90s during the SUV boom in the auto industry where Michigan matched or might have actually come in under the national employment rate for a little bit during the midway through the Engler years or toward the end of the Engler years. But, you know, that would be the goal. I mean, if you want to be a top 10 state, which is what the goal of the Business Leaders for Michigan is, you want healthy employment levels, you want healthy income gains, you know, those being the primary sort of prosperity measures. So, you know, that we'd like to be at or better than the national average, but certainly below 6% is a lot better than it's been. And I think you could see the national number going down another 0.5%, and Michigan's could probably follow. I think we're probably not going to get a whole lot lower than this.
Detroit Free Press business columnist Tom Walsh has been our guest. Tom, congratulations on so many productive years in the newspaper business in Detroit. It was great having you on the program, and we'll have you back. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Take care.